Welcome, welcome, coaches, teachers, parents, and medical professionals. You are listening to Larissa Mills and my podcast, At the Table. I am the founder of iParentGen.com. And today and every day, we are going to discuss how families and schools are managing technology and raising children and teaching them. We are also going to listen to how technology is impacting athletes and their level of sport. So let's get to it. Stay tuned and please call in with your questions or join us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. But parents, you are not alone. There are courses, articles, and videos on my website. Please sign up for free. So let's get listening.
Hello, Mikael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you so much for having me, Larissa.
I'm excited to have you here today. I was like, I found somebody who wanted to talk about sex with their kids. I mean, it doesn't happen that often, right?
That is true. So this is why I'm very, very excited to have this chat with you today.
I'm going to introduce you so that people kind of know your background. Now, Mikael Greenberg-Cohen is a sex educator for parents. She helps moms and dads to stay in control and have real conversations with their teens about sex, porn, to empower them to make positive sexual decisions. And I think we had a conversation, Mikael, maybe a couple weeks ago about how we are educating them now determines their sexual health in adult relationships later on. And that was where you and I really, you know, talked about that's vital for their adulthood. Right?
Yes. I think that my message to parents is that we not only need to or should start the conversation now for their own adolescence year, but really this is something that they will take and carry for their entire adulthood life. And if you think about it, they're going to be in a sexual relationship their entire adulthood life. Right. Why not giving them the best tools to start with?
Exactly. And I hope after our chat that, and you believe too, that every parent should have this information and have the tools and have the support there, because we might not know how to start the conversation, right? Or we're maybe a little bit of nervous to start it, but at least we're going to have a little bit more. So I call it weapons in our arsenal toolbox.
Yes.
Which tools am I going to pull out? And which ones will work with my kid? Because what might work with somebody else's kids might not work with my kids.
Right. And so, I totally agree with that. And this is why in our conversation, you know, and I'm happy to share also later as we go along, like how actually to start the conversation or what to think before we start the conversation. Because for me, that's actually very important.
Yeah. Now, today, for our listeners, we are going to talk about making sure that our relationship with our children is open and that we're going to talk to them about the things that we should be concerned about the sexting, about the talk about sex. I think it's important, even I've been talking to my kids about consent and about sexual relationships and what it is and what is birth control, what are STDs. Now, we know the schools do it, but we don't know how much our children really are understanding everything. And it's our job as parents to make sure that it is concrete, that they have that understanding. So I'm thankful that you're fitting us in. I know you're busy. You're in New York. You must be, are you almost back to normal there?
Yes. Yes. We actually almost like 1% before we actually got to the herd immunity. So that's very exciting.
See, we're just out of lockdown. Right. So yeah. I've been like, can I book this restaurant? Can I book? I'm just so excited to get out and get back to normal and get the kids back in their sports and resume some normalcy, but I really hope that things are better than before.
Yes, definitely. I can definitely share that, you know, I walk in the streets and you definitely see more tourists, which is great.
Yeah. Now, we're going to start off with the first questions, but the one thing that you and I did talk about before is that we don't always want to talk to our kids directly in a monologue. we want it to be a dialogue. And some people are like, well, that means I'm talking. I'm like, no. A dialogue is an exchange of conversations and thoughts back and forth. And a monologue is generally one person talking at another. So how would you then, I mean, you have kids as well. You've been doing this business for a while, but over the past 10 years, we have seen addiction to pornography and sexting skyrocket to the highest it was prior to COVID. We don't even have COVID numbers yet. So how would you start off talking to a parent or talking to a child and a parent about sex under the age of 18?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, we need to acknowledge as parents, and I also have teenagers at home, that for our children, the fact that they have a smartphone or access to the internet, that's very normal for them. And with that actually comes access, an easier access to maybe to content that we would have hoped that they would not watch, which is, you know, a lot of free pornography, and also the idea that they might be asked or will sex, which is to send nude images to someone else or receive. So we need to actually understand that this is their reality. So it's not about, oh, let's take all the devices and then I solve the problem, because they will need, like, those are their devices for life. And it's really for us, the parents, thinking, what can I, how can I help my my child to really understand better what they're watching, they might be watching, and also how not, you know, what will happen if they will send a nude image or if they will receive a nude image. So I think that this is very, like, the first thing is for us to acknowledge that we need to have that conversation, not because it's bad or dangerous, but really because that's going to be part of their life.
Right. And we shouldn't be hiding from it, and we shouldn't be wiping it under the mat, so to speak. I've had several parents come to me over the past year since I've started this, and I'm quite nervous because what they're telling me, I'm just shocked. I'm shocked by a 16-year-old boy who is addicted to pornography. The mom found it on his phone when he was in the shower, and he had been downloading seemingly increasingly more violent pornography, right? And she got down to the root of the problem because she's a psychologist, and she knew there was something. What are you not getting? What do you need to know? Why go to pornography? Why not, you know, why don't you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever it is? You know, let's talk about your sexual identity. What do you feel? Do you feel you like girls, you're like boys, what do you like? And she was really good about, but he had been selling it, making some money off it. I have to implore his entrepreneurial, but he got into big trouble.
Right.
And so if she wasn't watching and knowing what was going on, and there's lots of stories like this. I have hundreds of stories like this. This is just one. And I have others very similar, but she feels like, now, I'm sorry, you are going to be monitored. You are under 18. You are my responsibility. And because her name is on the phone, there was charges that weren't laid because it was him. And he's under the Canadian Criminal Act for youth, right? And a bunch of the parents didn't find out. There were some charges, though. So he got into serious trouble. And I mean, just because it's on a phone doesn't mean it's not a crime.
Right. And I think you mentioned two things that I want to focus on. First of all, we need to understand that pornography is illegal to watch for anyone who below the age of 18. It doesn't mean that they're not going to watch it, right? It's very easy to watch. Unfortunately, they only need to click that they're above 18 and then they have access.
Right.
But we need to understand that it's illegal. And it's really about how we talk. The same as it's illegal to drink, right? Or to smoke or, you know, purchase cigarettes. And we still talk to our children about, you know, why they cannot you know, drink, why they cannot smoke. And we need to start thinking that this is why we need to talk to our children about what does it mean if they watch any porn content. And we also need to know that not everyone who watch pornography will become addicted, right? The same as not everyone who watch right. alcohol will become addicted. But we, the difference for me between pornography and let's say like drugs or alcohol and other things is that it's so accessible. It's just, it's here.
It is.
And right, I have my phone.
Yeah, you're right. Cause I went on the other day just because I wanted to see how quick it was. Cause the other person I did a podcast with, she goes, you put in this, see what you get. I literally was on to 4 illegal sites and I could have gone on to the dark web to get, you know what, snuff, whatever dark web sells. And you know, as well as I do, that there are very illegal things on there. And I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I knew it was there. And then when I've spoken to the police, they're like, did you know that there are things that if you even click on it, you can be in a database and come up in the, what do they call, selection of investigation. And I went, no. and this was over probably 5 years ago when I found that out. And now it's so much more accessible. You just got to know what to click or find somebody who does. And it's pretty easy to do.
Yes. And I think that we need just to understand that because of that, it's not about preventing, because it's so, it's like, I even want to say it's almost like impossible to prevent.
Yeah.
But the more we educate, the more we open to talk with our children about that, the more chances that even if they will have the opportunity,
yeah.
they might actually choose not to watch it. Or even if they watch it one time, they will understand they can make their own choice of
right.
not continue watching it. And I also want to just point regarding the sexting that it's definitely every state. Like I know in the US, for every state, they have their own laws, but it's really...
Oh, really?
But the main thing is that any possession of a nudity for children, of children below the age of 16, or also forwarding, you know, sending images of someone below the age of 16, considered child pornography. So
below 16 in certain states.
Yeah.
And that I was aware of.
The US, but it's,
okay.
Yes. And this is why I think that we should talk to our children about, you know, the law, not yeah. in order to make them afraid of, but they need to understand that there might be consequences to their decisions. And by us feeling awkward or uncomfortable to raise that topic, which you totally get, like, right? It's like, it's hard. It's uncomfortable to talk about pornography. It's uncomfortable to think that our children might send nude images
here's my question.
To someone else it? Or receive.
Why is it? It's not uncomfortable, I don't think.
Why it's uncomfortable?
I don't feel uncomfortable talking
because
about it to my
we're
kids.
Not used
they
to
do.
It, first of all. No one talked to us.
Oh, my dad did. My mom and dad did.
Right. So, yeah. So you raised two things. So first of all, there are the people, the parents, that no one talked to them. Like in my family, we were very open, but that discussion was never really like on the table. Okay. Definitely no one talked to me about pornography. Sexting, it was not there. And so for many parents, just having this sex conversation is something that they struggle with, not to mention the phone conversation or the sexting. And just to add, we live in a reality that our children actually living in a reality that was not the reality when we were teenagers.
Not
so
even
it's
close.
Not only
but
that
sex was always there and photos right. were always there.
Right. But the sexting was never, you know, sexting is a new world, you know, right. like it was not, it's like, you know, it's before, like we only had like, you know, wired phones and, definitely we could only take our own picture maybe and give it to
send
ourselves.
It yeah
but we also, and I think that this is something that I like to tell parents, because we need also to be empathetic to our situation, Like, this is not something that we are learning with our children. We are learning how to monitor or how to control our devices as well as parents. And so when we think about what our children need, we also need to understand, to acknowledge that it's hard for us because we literally need to learn as we go, something that no one, it's not based on history. Like, history cannot really tell us how to handle it. We need to figure out first time. Yeah. So that, by the way, it will be easier for them, A, to figure it out as well, but also once they're a parent, it will be easier for them to support their children as well. The same as for you, Teresa, because your dad spoke with you, it was easier for you. It is easier for you to talk with your children. And the reason why it's hard for them, it's because they're in puberty, they're adolescents. And let's be honest, even when we were adolescents, we really didn't want to talk with our parents.
Oh, granted, I get their side. I get their side. But I think too that the more open a parental relationship is about sex and intimacy and love versus the violent images and submissive roles that women play in pornography is vastly different. So what do we as parents, what would you rather have in your children's head? All these images and the paid actors that are in these little videos? And remember too, I also add that they are very well tested before they do any of this, right? So they're kind of, I had to educate what was happening. How come, you know, if you see this, well, you know what, if you see that, they're paid. This is a scene. This is director. There are tons of cameramen behind here and women. There are lighting people. This, it takes 20 people to film one of these things. So remember, it's not real. And I think by educating them about that, it was helpful. But I really didn't have the, and I have to think about the generation here. My father's generation didn't really talk about the pornography angle, but definitely they brought up, well, my dad wrote the sex curriculum with the team for Ontario. Our conversations were very interesting, but I think that that actually helped us. And the more we were exposed to it, the more we just kind of shrugged it off and we weren't curious. We weren't going and looking in, what did we have? I don't know, Playboys, or I don't even know what was available to us. Or some of the boys from school always had a National Geographic in his backpack or, you know, something like that. But I think the more we are educating them, and that's my next question. If you had a magic wand, what would Miguel like to see in sexual education under the age of grade 8?
Yes. So I think that, first of all, I do want to say that the educational system is doing a huge, huge shift to really, in many areas, to talk about consent, to talk about, you know, more of, you know, more like puberty stuff that relevant to teenagers. I will say that there are two conversations that I think there are more like not in that conversation because of lack of resources. And also it rides a lot of uncomfortable conversation as well in communities. And one of them is pornography. And the second is pleasure, which if you think about it, might actually involve one another. But I think that this is, there's a lot, it's like, okay, let's do consent, but not talk about pornography. Well, let's do consent, but not talk about pleasure. And
I find that unbelievable because they all go hand in hand.
Right. And I think that this is where, but I also want to say that I understand why schools, that might not be the school responsibility. I actually think that that's the parents' responsibility because there are issues, like, right? And each family has their own thoughts and rules, and I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's a lot about, even if children are being taught in school, what do I wanna share with them? What information I wanna make sure that they take as they grow up to become adults?
Do you think that it would be wise, or is, I don't know the details of your program, for a family to sit down and go over your value systems Like, what do you value in a relationship? What do you value them having growing up and developing psychologically? What do you want them to value? Their bodies, their virtue, their confidence? I mean, it's all about sitting down and agreeing in harmony about what you value and making sure that that is happening. How you talk, right. How you role model. Like, I can't tell you how many parents are like, I'm getting dressed, get out. I'm like, your kid's three. You're still changing his diaper. So, I mean, I find it difficult when if a parent doesn't want to be seen by a child, maybe the parent has some other issues there that they need to work through, but it's perfectly normal for families to see each other naked as well. And that goes with part of all of this, how open your relationships are. Now, I mean, there's too open, but there's also a line where I have never hidden my body from my kids or said, you know, get out. I just said, we've made sure, can you knock before, dude? Like, you know, and usually it's interesting. Now we're at the point where I tell parents, how do you know when your child doesn't want to have a bath or a shower with you? They'll tell you. They'll tell you when they don't want to be around you when you're changing. They will vocalize it.
Yes.
Like, I'm done. Like, sorry, you know, or yeah, I don't want to see you. And that's when it's usually around 8.
Yeah.
And so once they get to that point, but they all get to their own points in their own way. I've never, you know, been ashamed or wanted them to think that I'm ashamed of my body because I want them to be body positive.
Yes. And sometimes I do want to say that sometimes body positive is actually to dress, right? Because I think that there is no right or wrong in how you raise your children as yep. long as you're open to communicate, to talk about it. And, yep. you know, also not only give room to your feelings or your thoughts, or your values, but also, as you mentioned as well, like ask your child, right? Because right. maybe I feel very comfortable walk naked at home, but my son, as he become like 15, maybe
13,
he
yeah, like, 14, yeah.
Okay? So he's also, it's okay for him to say, mommy, you know what? I don't feel comfortable by you walking naked at the house. And if I will just say, oh, like, was it something wrong with me? Now he's not sex positive. No, it's actually, he's super sex positive because he can come to me and actually yes. tell me that he doesn't feel
That's
comfortable and make a request. And I think that this is what we need to remember, that, you know, the sex talk or the porn talk is not like, oh, one talk, you know, this is yes, this is no.
It's not just one talk.
And that's it. It's an ongoing, it's the conversation. It's about checking in. It's about, you know, not making assumptions. And I also want to add that you also asked me, you know, about, you know, you were mentioning about the conversation. Sometimes they don't want to talk to us, but we still need to provide information. So what I also like to offer parents is to understand that our children not always are going to ask us the questions. They're not always going to want to talk about it, especially because we are talking about an uncomfortable or awkward topic also for them. But, you know, as you think about your values, as you mentioned, or like something important that you want to share with them, it's still okay to just say, hey, you know what? I just want to run with you something that it's important for me just to make sure that you know, or, you know, that you can always come to me, and then just like share this like quick topic that you want. And then you can ask them, do you have any questions? And they might just say, no, thank you. And let them go. Like sometimes we just like, no, you have to like, look at my eyes, you know, look me in the eyes, or ask questions, or don't like sit down, don't move. Well, sometimes maybe they feel so uncomfortable. They do need to move. It helps them, but yeah. they still listen to us. So I think that just being in this place of knowing that this is a conversation yeah. and it might look different than how we want that conversation to look like, but really yeah. about if we give them their own space, but still sharing with them what's important to us.
It's healthy, very healthy.
The healthy thing. Yes.
Now, we know over the past 15 years, we have seen kids It's kind of sad because I grew up with, and we grew, I don't know if I think I'm older than you. I grew up with more, dances, social activities, events, community events, big family events, and we had a lot more socialization, a lot more, 40 hours a week more, 160 hours a month more. Now kids don't have that. And they're consumed by watching a device. They'd rather watch life on their phone than rather go out and be the ones posting, even though they're at home waiting to see who's posted what. So it's a double-edged sword that we're trying to navigate with them, right? Now, this loss of socialization, do you think that that's affecting them?
So I actually want to share something that might be a little controversial, but we actually need to understand that their social experience is also going to be through digital spaces because they have Discord and they're very social on Discord. They do, they play video games and they're very social on video games. They have teams, if many of them have like Minecraft and they have their Minecraft server and they have their team. So we need to understand that, yes, maybe it's not going to be as our childhood, right? But it's really the question is just to check with your child how they are social. Right? Who are their friends? What they like doing with them? And make sure, as you noted, as you mentioned as well, that it's not that they're only like, checking Snapchat or Instagram and not active. It's like the passive way, which the passive way is more dangerous. But if they are active, if they are communicating with their friends, if you do see that there is actions and there is communication and respect
Yeah,
also,
definitely.
then that's great because that's their reality. It's for them and it's hard to beat that. It's more interesting to play a video game with their friends than to meet in the park outside.
Crazy. Now switching gears a bit. When you do you work with schools, like whole schools, or do you work privately with families, or how does your business operate, Miguel?
So I mainly work with parents. So whether it's parents through schools or through private groups, because I believe that at the end of the day, the parents or the caregiver are the one that stays with the child and support the child as they grow and as they become adults. And for me, it's really about the long-lasting connection between parents and the child. Therefore, I really want to empower the parents to have those conversations.
And by having the parents be involved, the more they are involved at the school, involved in their children's lives, the new identified parent is called the servicing out parent, where the parent services out a tutor, the parent services out a nanny, the parent services out someone to walk the dog. I mean, we're trying to make our lives as leisurely as we can, but we're forgetting that our children need to see how to live our lives and live their lives. And they need communication and guidance constantly, 24/7. So it's interesting how we're trying to service that out or put your kids in therapy and fix my kid and then bring them back. If you're not part of that process, your relationship with your child will never be the same and will never be the way that you have dreamed about, right? Now, Mika, how can people get a hold of you? Where is the best place to get a hold of you?
So the best way is to actually go to my website, which is www.askmichal.com, because that's where you have all my current programs and I have a YouTube channel so you can watch my videos and really see what I'm doing right now and also contact me.
Yeah, I just wish you were available and about another 500,000 of you, and we could put you all in schools.
Yes. And I will share that.
You imagine if we had that?
Yes.
Like a parent counselor, if you would, or me and you, and in a school, in every school.
I know. I think that this is would be an amazing opportunity.
It's gonna happen. You and me. It's gonna work. We're gonna make things happen.
Yes. But I will also share that I also like to raise like the digital world, and knowing that actually today teenagers could have access to us also through digital, and not only through school. So I think today there are more opportunities to reach out to teenagers and to parents.
Right. And I'm just going to summarize a little bit about what we talked about today. Yeah. You tell me if I'm wrong or if you want to add something, because I want to make sure you get your points across. So for parents with kids at home in the digital age, we have to acknowledge that the phones aren't going to go away, and access to sexual content isn't going to go away. That educating them about, I think, in my opinion too, the legalities of what they're looking at is above all should be here, right? As top priority, because let's say they go online and they don't realize what they're doing and downloading, and it's quite illegal. And they could get into more serious things and get themselves in trouble and your family, which has happened. Making sure that, and above all, we keep an open dialogue and conversation, and we don't get too pushy with our kids, but we just keep talking and we keep inviting them to talk to us and share. Would you say that's your top three?
Yes. And okay. Just to add, I think that when you talk about the legality, that's where you actually have start the open conversation, because if you just talk about legality without actually having the conversation about why they might watch it, how it might influence them, or what ideas they might get from it, then we're actually missing the point. Because when we just say don't do something without explaining, guess what our teenagers will do? They're going to do it. So I think it goes like hand by hand.
Well, I want to say that if you are having a difficult time approaching your children, Mikhail Greenberg-Cohen is a sex educator for parents, and you can reach her at Better Talk, the Talk Academy for Parents. I found you on Facebook, right?
Yes.
I liked your information. It was fabulous. You can reach her there. But remember to keep the conversation going and keep talking to your kids. And it's not just one conversation. It's more like an organic train of conversations that keep happening over your child's life. So thank you very much for being here, Miguel, and talking to us.
Thank you so much, Larissa, for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks.